can talk afterwards through fellowship. After buying a ticket, that's right. Not before. How are you all today? You're good? You look good from up here. Who remembers their first day of school? Does anyone here remember? You do. Do you know, I still remember my first day of school. I know you're thinking that's impossible, it was too long ago, but I do. My two older brothers walked me to my first day of school. They took me to my classroom, they sat me on the bench out the front, and they said, stay there until the teacher comes. And I was really nervous on my first day at school, and I think there might have been a few tears. And you know what? If it was up to me, I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to the first day of school. I wasn't going to go to school. I needed to stay home where I belonged. I definitely needed someone to take me because I wasn't going by myself. But do you know what happened on that first day of school? I met my best friend for the next 7 years. And I discovered that I actually enjoyed school and I liked all the people. And it's an experience I wouldn't have chosen for myself. If my brothers hadn't taken me by the hand and walked me, or possibly dragged me to school on my very first day, I would have missed it. And you know what? I think it can be a bit like that with church and people who don't yet know Christ. If it was up to them, they wouldn't go. Maybe the thought of it's like a bit daunting. That's when they need someone like you to come alongside and take them by the hand and take them to church. And when they get there, that's when they find out that it's pretty good. It's not daunting. And they will have the perfect opportunity to meet the best friend that they could ever find. Jesus. So my sermon today is about some persistent friends who went out of their way to bring their friend to a church meeting and to come face to face with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, anoint this simple message today with your Holy Spirit. Give us all ears to hear and eyes to see what you have to say to us today. Have your way in this meeting, Lord. Have your way. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin reading from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, but it will be up on the screen. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then they lowered the mat with the man on it. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, he took his mat and he walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So the word was out. Jesus was back in town. He didn't advertise his return. In fact, I suspect that he was trying to keep a low profile at this time. Most commentators believe he'd gone to stay in his friend Peter's house. You see, previous to this, he had healed a leper. Now, he had asked the leper to keep it quiet, but this man couldn't keep his newfound freedom to himself, and he went around telling everybody, and the result was that everywhere Jesus went, he was mobbed by hordes of people. Jesus retired to lonely places to try to get away by himself, but they sought him out wherever he went. And someone must have seen him re-enter Capernaum, because before too long, a multitude had gathered, so many that they filled Peter's house and overflowed outside to the extent that they blocked all the entrances to the house. There was no way for anyone else to get inside because of the press of the crowds around the doorways and the windows. Many of these people perhaps only came for cures. Others maybe came for curiosity, to get a sight of him. Some came to listen. We know that some came to find fault in him. You know what? It didn't matter to Jesus why they came. When Jesus had them all together, he preached the word to them. Can you imagine the transforming effect of the word of God being preached to you by the word of God? By Jesus? Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11 says, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent." That is a promise. You can rely on the word of God. And you know what? That is why these crowds had gathered at Peter's house, because there was ample evidence in their town that the word of God could be relied upon. And it's into this arena that we see a group of people walking along a dirt road. Four of them were carrying someone on a mat. We don't know actually how many people there were, how far they'd come, or who they were, but I can tell you they were determined to get this man to Jesus. Perhaps they were his relatives, perhaps they were his friends. I know it took four people to share this man's burden at any one time. And I think there was probably enough people with them to change for another shift, for the bearers to hand this man and his stretcher over to another four to have a break. This is speculation, of course, but I believe this was a well-thought-out cooperative effort. They all shared the same crippled friend. They shared the same goal. They shared the same determined attitude. They'd do whatever it took. I would say there was unity amongst this group of people. Sometimes we get to bring someone to Christ alone, and that is really exciting. But often it's a concerted joint effort. Even the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow." And he goes on to say in verse 8 that the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. And isn't that the salvation of individuals? We work together, someone gets saved, and God gets the glory. And that's how it should be. How must they have all felt when they arrived at Peter's house? Only to find out they couldn't get near it. After all that effort, roadblock. Did they give up? No way. These men truly believed that their friend would be healed if they could get him to Jesus. This was their mission. This is our mission too, to get people to Jesus. The fact that he couldn't walk didn't stop them. They carried him. And now they faced a full house, doorways and windows blocked by throngs of people, denying access to the very place they need to be. What can they do? These guys are not letting go of their mission. They just came up with another idea to overcome the hindrance to their plan. Mark 2:4 says, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. Most homes in Palestine had flat roofs with an external stairway leading up to the roof. Somehow, they managed to push their way through the crowd to the stairs, carrying their precious friend on his mat. And the roof would have been made of slabs of burnt or dried clay that were placed on supporting beams which stretched from wall to wall. Then the hardened slabs were covered with a slurry of fresh wet clay, which when dried formed a seal against the rain. They carried him up the stairs. They laid him on the roof and they dug out the top coat of clay. Then they removed several of the slabs until they had made enough room to lower him down into the presence of Jesus. You've got to admire their determination, but it's quite a radical solution, don't you think? This is Simon Peter's house, after all. He's the guy who cut off the ear of the soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was his roof, and I don't know about you, but if someone was digging a hole in my roof, I'd want to do something about it. Imagine if you were inside while this was going on. The noise, the dust. What if a slab had fallen into the crowded room? Do you think all eyes were looking up, waiting to see what was coming? What was Peter thinking? You know what? None of that mattered. They just knew they had to get their paralyzed man, this paralyzed man, to Jesus. So they lowered him through the roof. I mean, they had ropes with them. They were prepared for anything. These guys had commitment. I don't know what Jesus was teaching at this meeting, but I can assure you it came to a sudden halt. I wonder if they thought about the consequences as they were ripping the roof apart and lowering their friend down. I wonder what the paralyzed man was thinking throughout the procedures. Did he have anything to say about it? I wondered if he thought being lowered through a roof was going to be a bit embarrassing, a bit awkward. But all of a sudden, there he was. He was face to face with the source of his help, face to face with Jesus. And his friends were peering down through the roof to the crowd below. It's quite a comical picture, really, isn't it? What did Jesus do here? Do you know, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says that Jesus got angry about being interrupted. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Jesus responded to interruptions with compassion and with mercy, even deviating from his intended course to meet the desperate needs of people. So what did Jesus do? He looked up at the men who were peering through the hole they'd just made in the roof. And the Bible says he saw their faith, the faith they had in the ability of Jesus to heal was clearly demonstrated by their actions. It says in Mark 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It wasn't the faith of these men that saved the paralytic, because to be saved, you must be the believing one. But it was their faith that brought the paralytic to the place where he could meet the Lord Jesus. where Jesus could then deal with him individually and personally. And it wasn't easy to get him there. They had to organise a cooperative team. They had to carry him. They had to overcome obstacles and hindrances. They had to remain determined and persistent. They even had to take some risks, but they got him there. They had a sense of urgency about them. A lot of commentators reason that this man was probably a quadriplegic because he had to be carried lying on a stretcher or a mat. I imagine in those days there wouldn't be much of a future for someone in that condition. But what if something happened to him before they got him there? Or what if Jesus might leave before they made it to him? I wonder if you and I have that same sense of urgency for our unsafe friends and family and our neighbours. Are we prepared to become stretcher bearers to bring others along to the place where they can have their own personal encounter? Are we prepared to overcome the obstacles, the reasons why it can't be done, to go ahead and do it? As a church, that's what we need to do, to go out and to bring in the unsaved so they can hear the gospel. Many people are not going to come into a church unless you take the corner of the stretcher and you help carry them in. That's what these men did. They had the faith to bring this man to meet the Lord Jesus. That's when Jesus could deal with him personally and say, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The friends brought the cripple to Jesus to be healed, but he went well beyond their request. He forgave the man of sin and made him in upright and right standing with God first. That was his most urgent need. You know, better to go to heaven maimed than to end up in hell whole. And of course, when you're labouring for the Lord, there'll be critics. Jesus encountered his fair share of them. And this occasion was no different. Amongst the crowd, teachers of the law were waiting to catch him out as usual. And there it was. Blasphemy, as far as they were concerned. Who can forgive sins but God? You know what? They're absolutely right. But they weren't discerning who Jesus was. However, Jesus could certainly read their thoughts and objections. So he said in Mark chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take up your mat and walk"? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home." Jesus not only healed this man of his paralysis, but he also literally and spiritually caused him to walk in newness of life. So complete was the transaction that the man was able to carry his own bed into his own house. And when he walked out, he demonstrated that Jesus was no ordinary man. He was Almighty God. The onlookers were amazed. They'd never seen anything like this before. In fact, the Greek word translated amazed actually means out of their minds. The people who witnessed this miracle were literally beside themselves in astonishment, and they gave glory and praises to God. What a testimony. A testimony, by the way, that would never have happened without the determination of the friends. He couldn't walk, so they carried him. Crowds blocked their access, so they went around them. There was a roof between them and Jesus, so they removed it, and they lowered their friend through the ceiling to have an encounter with Jesus. They possessed a dogged determination to get their friend to the one who could help him, Jesus. So often we can encounter hindrances and difficulties in trying to encourage our family and our friends to come to church. It's easy to say it's too hard, but this true account from the book of Mark demonstrates the results of persistent and determined effort. There's a Chinese proverb that says, "Let the man who says it cannot be done not disturb the man doing it." It's good, isn't it? For every excuse, for every obstacle and every hindrance, there is a way around it. It just may not be obvious at the moment. But can I encourage you, never give up in your endeavours to bring the ones God has entrusted to you to salvation. Jesus is salvation. And if you can just get them to him, he can do the rest. Sometimes it will take more than you to accomplish this. The crippled man had an entourage of people, four carrying him at a time. They were a fellowship. They had a common cause and they shared the burden together. It's not always easy. It certainly wasn't easy to get the crippled man to Jesus, but it was possible and the results were amazing. God was glorified and men praised his name. In fact, the onlookers in this particular incident went out of their minds when they witnessed this man's encounter with Jesus. They were beside themselves. They'd never seen anything like it. Church, I don't think our eyes have yet seen the extent of what Jesus can do in the life of an individual when they come face to face with him. Our God is a mighty and awesome God. Amen? So let us not grow weary in our endeavours to bring people to Christ. Let's not say it's too hard. Let's be like the friends of the paralytic, determined and single-minded and displaying our faith with action. Now, isn't our Christmas buffet the perfect opportunity to invite someone to church? If you don't already know, our buffet is a fabulous evening. The church looks beautiful. It's all decked out in glittering lights. The ambience is amazing. The food is delicious. And our band performs the Christmas carols as only they can, professionally and brilliantly. My personal opinion is that our carols evening is as good as, or even better than, the ones they televise from Melbourne from the Dome. And it's fun. There's prizes and laughs, and you can have your children looked after and you can relax. This is the perfect occasion to bring friends and family or colleagues to church for their first time. If you can, why don't you buy them a ticket? I challenge you to come along someone, to come alongside someone who doesn't know Jesus and invite them to the buffet. If you can get them there, I promise you won't have to lower them through the roof. We will throw open the doors. We will welcome them. If you can get them here, they will see Jesus. They will see him in the faces of our beautiful City View people. They will see him in our fellowship. They will see him in the words of the Christmas carols they sing, and they will see him in the message delivered on the night. The friends of the paralyzed man had one focus: to bring their friend to Jesus. They couldn't heal him. They couldn't save him. But they could carry him. They did what they could. Then Jesus did what he could. Your job's the same. You bring them. Let Jesus do what he does best. Amen? Why don't you all close your eyes and bow your heads at this moment? Because I want to take this opportunity I feel there is someone here that's met Jesus, and I would like to take this opportunity to ask them a question. Would you like to have your sins forgiven, just like the paralyzed man? You've now met salvation in the form of Jesus Christ, and you would like to say yes to him. You would like to say, please forgive me, Lord, and wash me clean in your blood. If there is anyone here today who would like to say yes to salvation, to eternal life with Jesus, why don't you raise your hand and let me pray with you? I really feel God is speaking to someone here today. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. There's a new life waiting for someone today. When you say yes to Jesus, you are a new creation in Christ. The old self has gone, the new has come. Is there anyone who would like to receive the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Just raise your hand and I'll see it. I see that hand, thank you. Is there anybody else? Is there anyone? Thank you, I see that hand. Is there anybody else who would like to say yes to salvation? Okay, why don't we all pray this together? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from running my own life, and now I ask you to run it. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then you've just received Christ. You are forgiven of your sins by God. You are in a new relationship with God. You are a child of God. His Holy Spirit now lives in you, and you are born again into the kingdom of God. And we would all like to say congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Let's give these people a hand. Well, that's the end of my sermon. But before we close, I want to pray. Dear Lord, help us to draw people to Jesus because of the way we act and the way we relate to others. Lord, I pray that we won't give up on those you have placed in our path, our family, our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues. So Lord, turn us into persistent friends. Friends who love unconditionally, friends who have wisdom and determination to overcome objections and obstacles and succeed in bringing people to an encounter with you. Develop in us the same heart of love that you have for those who don't yet know you. And may we always remember that you died for them, that they also may find salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, bless those who called on your name this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.